So we've come to our final storyteller of the evening. This our final show at the Senator for this season, but it's not the last Stoop show this year. We have a show coming up at the Gordon Center about summer camp stories, so please join us there. That's an open mic, like a second Stoop show. And then we have the show we do, we've done these past couple of years at the Bolton Street Synagogue. It's called It's Complicated, a show about the joys and oys of being a modern Jew, so that's always a lot of fun. And if you're interested in learning about true personal storytelling, please look on the back of your program. And there's a workshop that we'll be offering on storytelling, a full day intensive. And you can register. It has the link for registering, but I realize I put brown paper ticket instead of brown paper tickets. So it's brownpapertickets.com, which you would probably have figured out anyway, but I wanted to save you the trouble. Anyway, you've been a terrific audience. This is our final storyteller, who happens to be the son of the man who just told a story. And we thought, we love the idea of ending our show about awkward adolescence with an actual adolescent telling a story. And his story will, as you'll discover, continue in somewhat the same vein as his father's. And he's also wearing the same shirt as his father. So please welcome him.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
You good?
Yeah. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Dad, for cleansing their palates. So, back when I was a teenager, I, like my father, had little to no semblance of a grasp on how to romance girls. But unfortunately for me, from the minute I set my size 3 foot in that middle school, I was surrounded by those goddamn things. And in the torrent of confusion and hormones and spontaneous erections and fear of spontaneous erections, I managed to get myself unhealthily attached to one girl in particular. And this girl happened to be my best friend. Now, I, of course, didn't originally acknowledge this as infatuation. I just knew that some things were different. I knew that she had kind of nice hair now, and that I would stare at her for uncomfortably long extended periods of time until she told me to stop. But I had no way of expressing these feelings to her. That is until seventh grade. Now, in seventh grade, there was a seventh grade dance. And like any reasonable seventh grader who's crushing on his best friend, I decided to write her an email. And the email went a little something like this. Hey, did you hear that there's a dance coming up? That's so stupid. Dances are so... You want to go? Do you want to go to it? Yeah. This email did not come up in our daily conversations for about a week. And at the end of the week, she came up to me and she let me know that she would love to go to the dance with me just as long as she wouldn't be there. And in fact, that she couldn't be there because she had plans for that weekend. Bummer. Now, she probably told me this, assuming that I wasn't pathetic enough to go to the dance myself and check. And like most bets that rely on me not being pathetic enough to do something, they lose every time. And lose she did, because naturally she was at the dance, and so was I. I decided the best course of action would be to sit against the wall and stare at her until she made eye contact with me so that I could instill in her the guilt that she deserved. This did not woo her quite as well as I thought it would. So I vowed never to ask her out again. And the next time I asked her out was in ninth grade 2 years later. I did so via a Facebook message. And this was directly after she had left my house one night. Yeah. The message went something like this. Hey. Dating is stupid, right? You wanna go out on a date with me? And luckily, thank God, she said, I've been thinking about that too. Cue mistake number two. I go to my mom to ask what to say next. And my mom asked me to say that she's really great somewhere in my stoop story, but that conflicts with the next thing I'm going to say, which is that she sucks. Specifically, she sucks at giving advice with relationships. And she told me to say, well, we could also just say friends if that's what you wanted to do. Yeah. So, turns out that girls don't like it when you ask them out and then immediately take it back. So, she decided that we would talk about it at school the next day. I did not talk to her at school the next day. In fact, I, at several points that day, ran away from her just to avoid talking to her. And at the end of the day, she messaged me and told me that she was not ready for a relationship. This was a perfectly legitimate lie. But either way, she did not talk to me for a month. And at the end of that month, I was on a camping trip with one of the new kids, and I was getting to know him, and he mentioned something about getting a new girlfriend. Great. Who? Give you one guess. Yeah. So when I learned that he was now dating who I thought to be the love of my life at the time, I concocted a little bit of a plan. And the plan had two parts. Part number one, take out my phone, text her, hey. I hear you're dating the new guy. I am okay. Because nothing says okay like telling someone you're okay out of the blue after not talking for a month. Part number two. I decided that I would go to him and tell him that I had a list of acceptable boyfriends for her and that he did not make the list. I was the list. And to my surprise, she talked to me the next day at school for the first time in a month. Unfortunately, it was about why I had a list of acceptable boyfriends for her. Specifically, why her boyfriend didn't make the list. At this point, I was really presented with two options. Cry, or sort of turn this round into a romantic gesture, win her love back. So I chose cry. I actually chose cry a lot and in public. And by some miracle, we remain friends to this day. So much so that she's actually listening to this right now. And I may have neglected to mention that this was about her. So I am sorry.